Welcome, everyone, to Street and Curb. I'm your designated driver, Steve Carvelli, and we're with you every week at this time where we talk common sense solutions for complex issues. The Street and Curb radio network is expanding. We are currently airing in North Jersey, South Jersey, Philadelphia, of course, Fayetteville, North Carolina, Huntsville, Alabama, Jackson, Mississippi, Fort Myers, Tampa. We're expanding hopefully more soon. We'll keep you guys advised. Also, what we're going to talk about today is kind of interesting. We're going to talk about the golden age. This is something that Donald Trump alluded to in his inauguration. We want to talk about the golden age. We want to talk about the similarities between Donald Trump, 45 and 47 president, with William McKinley, who he's evoked similarities with a lot of issues. We're going to delve into that a little bit. And of course, we're going to get into the Who Said What segments. This is something that I want to do in every show, comment about four or five quotes that people have made during the week. They could be politicians, celebrities, whoever they may be. A little bit, give us a little common sense interpretation of what they said. Sometimes they're ridiculous in their assumptions. Sometimes they're right on target. Sometimes they've missed the mark. So we're going to have that segment every week. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's Who Said What right here on Street and Curb.
Paul Oster, certified FICO Pro, the nation's credit repair man and the president of Better Qualified. 20 years of helping thousands of people just like you repair their credit. We have an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, and our clients have saved thousands of dollars with lower interest rates. We're currently helping people in your area, so take the first step. We have helped our clients to have hundreds of thousands of late payments, collections, and charge-offs deleted from their credit reports. Are you tired of getting denied? Tired of higher interest rates? This is your message. You can own a home. You can get out of debt. You can afford that new car. 20 years later, you have my word. If you're ready to help yourself, I know we will help you, and I'll guarantee it. Text the message CURB to the number 40691. Again, text the message CURB to the number 40691 for your free consultation and credit analysis.
Welcome back, everyone, to Street and Curb. I'm your designated driver, Steve Carvelli, and on every show, we go with Who Said What? Interesting things that people say during the week that I have just, I don't know, I have to comment on because I think I have to. So again, number one, we will forge society that is colorblind and merit-based. Said by Donald Trump in his inaugural address, his inaugural speech, probably the beginning of the dismantling of DEI, at least on the federal employee level. DEI constructs have been, executive order have been ordered to disappear. But a merit-based society that is colorblind. Again, a common sense approach, very popular among the voters who voted for Donald Trump, maybe not with the elites. But again, common sense seems to be coming back, at least in the political discourse. Number two, we are doing these free money giveaways and going down the crazy rabbit holes of supposedly social service programs that have no real oversight or management and no effectiveness. Well, if I didn't know better, I would say that came from a staunch Republican. But that did not come from a Republican. That came from Tracy Park, who is an attorney and a councilwoman in Los Angeles. She is a Democrat, and she's commenting on the, misappropriation of a lot of money that she feels have misappropriated that have gone down to rabbit holes of social spending for homeless and whatever that really had no effect and no result. And as a result, those monies that were diverted to those issues did not go to firefighting efforts. So it is kind of really interesting that now we have a councilwoman in Los Angeles commenting on basically stating a Republican talking point about wasteful spending, misappropriated spending that did not go for very core causes that most of the electorate wanted to go for. So we'll have to see where that goes. She's been pretty outspoken on a lot of issues. She is an attorney. She's been very vocal on some of the issues she's had with the governor and the mayor of Los Angeles in regards to the firefighting efforts. But again, it's a common sense approach. It's a breath of fresh air to me, for lack, no pun intended. But it's kind of reassuring that there is some common sense creeping back into the political discourse. Number three, I don't celebrate rapists, unquote. This is Ocasio-Cortez explaining why she did not attend the inauguration. And that is fine and that is admirable because no one should celebrate rapists. However, the people need to be convicted first of that crime. And Trump already settled a defamation case against a legacy network for that very claim. Again, get the facts straight before you make statements. But what's a little bit more of a higher irony here is that AOC, the higher paradox is that Hamas and their terrorists who committed, you know, several, many atrocities against Israeli settlers, but she fails to condemn them. She kind of supports them. And it's become, it's hypocrisy of character here. So again, it's of course, you don't celebrate rapists, but then again, you make sure that the crime fits the statement, which it does not in regards to Trump's case. But again, don't get caught up on a paradox in regards to who you support and when you support them. Number four, we're still keeping with the AOC theme here today. Quote, this is what 21st century fascism looks like, unquote. She stated that on the eve of the inauguration of Donald Trump that she did not, inauguration that she did not attend. I guess my first question is, does she know what 20th century fascism looks like? Again, you know, the term they use fascism in a lot of vernaculars and a lot of ways and descriptions of Donald Trump. Again, this is a term that is overly overused. I don't think that AOC understands the fascism of any century, let alone this century, but she's making a predictive statement that this is how 21st century fascism looks like. Again, this is a bartender who got elected in a district that she really has not provided any substantial or substantive legislation for. But it's just amazing that, you know, she makes the bold statement that 21st century fascism looks like this, but we don't know what 20th century fascism looks like. Before we get into the golden age discussion today, I have a question here that a term I want to retire. In other words, change the dimension and scope of how it's used. And the term is normalization. Why do I say that? With certain media pundits, especially those of The View, one of my favorite shows, they harp on the normalization of Trump. And what do they mean by this? They mean that if any entertainer or business person is associated with Donald Trump, appears with him in any type of meeting, appears with him in any type of press conference, that they're seen as normalizing Trump and to be criticized for doing that. I hate to tell the media harpies, especially of The View, but Trump has already been normalized. He has been elected. A majority of the voting Americans voted and elected him, and he has taken office. So the term normalization in regards to how people vote and what they want in a candidate to run the presidency has already been decided. So normalization is not a term that we commandeer and make a negative term because, oh, you're associating with someone we don't like. This is a term that should retire, at least in the use of the term normalization that the pundits of The View are doing, and it needs to change immediately. This is what we're about at Extreme Curb. We want to give a common sense interpretation of some of the terms, and I think that there should be some pushback on this a little bit, but again, you know, we've seen the whole media falling over Joe Biden in regards to keeping the kid gloves on in regards to hard questions with Joe Biden and his capabilities of running for office. But in the same sense, we've seen the gloves come off and terms that have been hijacked for their use and normalization, fascism. These are just some of the few terms. But again, you know, this is something that, you know, the media still kind of uses, and it takes the consumer and the general public to kind of push back on these items. And that's what we do on Street and Curb. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk about the golden age. This is something that Donald Trump alluded to. I want to discuss what the golden age is, why it may be important. Did we already go through one? And how do we know if we're in the golden age? So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back here in Street and Curb. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with the golden age.
Paul Oster, certified FICO Pro, the nation's credit repairman and the president of Better Qualified. 20 years of helping thousands of people just like you repair their credit. We have an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, and our clients have saved thousands of dollars with lower interest rates. We're currently helping people in your area, so take the first step. We have helped our clients to have hundreds of thousands of late payments, collections, and charge-offs deleted from their credit reports. Are you tired of getting denied? Tired of higher interest rates? This is your message. You can own a home. You can get out of debt. You can afford that new car. 20 years later, you have my word. If you're ready to help yourself, I know we will help you, and I'll guarantee it. Text the message CURB to the number 40691. Again, text the message CURB to the number 40691 for your free consultation and credit analysis.
Once upon a time, there was a tavern where we used to raise a glass.
Welcome back, everyone, to Street and Curb, where common sense solutions for complex issues are the norm of the day. I'm your designated driver, Steve Carvelli, and we have a broad network of radio stations carrying our show. And again, we're here every week at this time, and we hope you join us on subsequent weeks. So the topic of the day is the golden age, and this is something that I kind of wanted to delve into a little bit since Donald Trump mentioned this in the inauguration. But it's interesting, he not only mentioned it in the inauguration, but back on 27 July of 2020, he actually tweeted that he promised a future golden age once the country recovered from the COVID-19 pandemic. So it was probably the first allusion to the golden age was back then for Donald Trump. But where does the golden age come from and what does it mean? Well, the golden age actually, I guess, is a term or as a description of a period of history, kind of relates back to ancient Greece. It denotes a period of peace and harmony. Nature and reason are aligned. There's maximization of human capability and cultural and scientific advancement. Sounds like a nirvana. It's something that I may have discussed before when we talked about the age of Aquarius, that enlightenment, economic prosperity, peace and harmony all go hand in hand when the stars align. Is that the same thing? And what's interesting about the Golden Age, it's attributed to a lot of nations at a lot of different time periods. There's Greece, ancient Greece, the Italian Renaissance in the 14th, the 17th century, the Scientific Revolution, the Age of Enlightenment in the 1600s. There's an Islamic Golden Age, and there's even a Chinese Golden Age with the Tang Dynasty in the 600 to 900 AD. I guess the question is, has America even had a Golden Age? So what are the characteristics of an American Golden Age? Again, it would be achievement in science, arts, and culture, economic prosperity, coupled in political stability. And again, I guess the question is, can we anticipate a golden age? Can we will a golden age to happen? Can we expect a golden age to happen? And is it an inevitable in our economic and political cycles? And, you know, it's hard to know if we're actually in one. But let's look at a lot of the issues and the components of a golden age and what Donald Trump may be doing to create one or force America into one. Again, it goes, let's go to the economy initially. Trump needs and promises a strong economy. However, I do believe that we are in the latter stages of an economic expansion period, and the economic cycles in this country do follow historical context. And what follows growth follows contraction. What follows contraction follows is followed by growth again. This is part of the cyclical economy that we live in. So again, where do we stand in the economy? I do think we're in the latter stages of an expansion period. Now, I think you could prolong the expansion period a little bit. You could have a economic Goldilocks zone where interest rates are not too high or too low. There's a low core inflation, maybe the 2% that the Federal Reserve is talking about. There's controlled wage growth because uncontrolled wage growth is inflationary. And there's about a 5 to 10% save rate that allows for additional discretionary income to be used. So I guess the key here is interest rates. And of course, you know, interest rates have a real and psychological effect on consumers. It affects everything, whether the products we produce, the products how we move to market, production and distribution is pretty much has an effect and is affected by interest rates. And our standard of living is affected by interest rates. So if Trump is going to, author a golden age, he's got to have the control of the economy and he's got to have the control of interest rates. And you know what's interesting? It's interest rates, and Donald Trump has made it very clear that he's wanted to control the Fed. The Fed is independent. The Fed makes decisions on monetary policy without, supposedly without emphasis, influence or bias from the executive branch. We'll see if that's to be seen or not, because the president can remove a Federal Reserve president. But again, it's supposed to be independent of the desires of the executive branch. So how does he control interest rates without having control of the Fed? Or when the Fed can drop the rates or raise the rates, that may differ from what Donald Trump feels it is important or the president feels is important. Well, I think there is a backdoor approach here that the president is going to use to control interest rates. And what do I mean by that? And it goes with energy prices. You know, during the inauguration, he made it very clear, and I quote, "We're going to drill, baby, drill. We're going to exploit and leverage the fossil fuels and supply that this country has, and it has an immense supply. and we're going to increase our production capability, that we are a net supplier to the world of energy and control the fossil fuel output in this country. And it's interesting to state that, you know, we're going to go anti-green, we're going to go anti-EV, and we're going to really leverage the fossil fuels and control the fossil fuels. And what does that do when we increase supply and we keep demand relatively constant, at least initially, is that prices drop. And it reduces our reliance on foreign countries in regards to oil and energy. And it boosts the American domestic production up, domestic production capability, wages, growth, jobs, all in that industry. So lower energy prices, check inflation. They will keep a lid on interest rates. And that enables more discretionary spending. So as part of the golden age, which the economy is important, and we have to extend the economic growth and prosperity that we're having on a relative basis. We have to extend this expansion period. And if you can't control interest rates directly, you backdoor them through energy prices. So again, it's kind of interesting that he is using the drilling platforms and the drilling capability in this country to increase oil production in this country. And that's kind of a backdoor approach of get us into the golden age and keeping our foot in the door with a relatively good economy. He's also, and it's interesting to point that part of the economic expansion and part of the economic feel-good feeling that we have in this country has to deal with housing. So if we keep interest rates low, and because of energy prices being low, people feel good about buying houses. They feel good about having more discretionary income. They have more money in the bank. Their wages go further. And they do make purchases of houses. So what's good about it is he also realizes that inventory is an important issue. Now, inventory for housing has been getting better in a lot of areas because we've had a little bit of a slowdown. Interest rates have put a damper on purchasing capability. So more products and more housing is going on the market. However, there's a question of affordability and what people can afford on the wages that they earn. So Donald Trump signed an executive order, delivery emergence from pre-relief for American families and defeating the cost of living crisis. And what this does is that this executive order addresses the housing supply. He wants to increase affordable housing supply and lower entry costs to home ownership. This would be the key to a term that I do not like, generational wealth, because generational wealth gets passed down from generation to generation. And housing is the biggest investment you can make that can be the biggest store of wealth and the biggest ability for you to transfer wealth. So again, Donald Trump seems to be using backdoor approaches to get us a good economy, a better economy, which is a major component of the golden age. We're going to take a quick break right now. We discussed the economic portion of the golden age. Now we're going to discuss a little bit more of the geopolitical component of the golden age. We'll come right back after this quick break. Join us again right here on Street and Curb after these quick messages.
Paul Oster, certified FICO Pro, the nation's credit repair man and the president of Better Qualified. 20 years of helping thousands of people just like you repair their credit. We have an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, and our clients have saved thousands of dollars with lower interest rates. We're currently helping people in your area, so take the first step. We have helped our clients to have hundreds of thousands of late payments, collections, and charge-offs deleted from their credit reports. Are you tired of getting denied? Tired of higher interest rates? This is your message. You can own a home. You can get out of debt. You can afford that new car. 20 years later, you have my word. If you're ready to help yourself, I know we will help you, and I'll guarantee it. Text the message CURB to the number 40691. Again, text the message CURB to the number 40691 for your free consultation and credit analysis.
Once upon a time, there was a tavern where we used to raise a glass or two.
Welcome back, everyone, to Street CURB, and I guess you hear about our lead-in song, Those Were the Days, and we're talking about the golden age and the golden age and how Donald Trump envisions it and how it may work for this country. One of the other components of the golden age that you've seen over the course of history is that you have to have a period of peace. And Trump is emphasizing, and he's emphasized this on the inaugural address several times, that the best deterrent for against world aggression is having a strong military. He uses the term peace through strength. It is basically a concept that you build up the military-industrial complex, build up the military, become such a formidable power that it kind of prevents and inhibits other actors and bad actors from taking action that may infringe on our rights and our jurisdiction. And it's interesting that the peace through strength is basically going to help the economy. Because when you build up the military industrial complex, you are also helping the economy. There's also a reference to a 19th century notion called manifest destiny. And in the 19th century, manifest destiny was the destiny perceived to be inherently American that we would occupy the entire continent of North America. It was the description of how we were justifying our move westward, that we were going to go coast to coast and, you know, become the controlling nation of the North American continent. And this is what was called manifest destiny. And of course, you know, Donald Trump's been using that term. It appeals to an inherent nationalism in the country. It goes well with the American America First policy. It does have a wide populist appeal. And it's interesting that it creates a lot of justification for some of the actions that he's creating within the economy and within the military. So again, is this going to be successful? It's interesting that he talks about the war with Russia and Ukraine, that both sides would have to make concessions. And for the Ukrainian side, the concession would be to give up territory. So again, this seems to be an appeasement strategy. And of course, you've seen in historical context, appeasement does not really tame an aggressor. It just kind of placates them for a period of time. But it's interesting that we have the same dynamics that, you know, the president seems to understand what a golden age is and what's component of it. So we have two components we discussed already. We discussed the economy on how he's acting to keep the economy on an expansion mode. We discussed the peace structure in which how he wants to keep world peace. He really wants to build up our military. He wants to go with peace through strength as a deterrent. And it is a structure for the military industrial complex. And that leaves us with culture and science. And I have to say that the definition of culture and science today and how we advance culture and science today, it's really going to be driven by AI. And on the first day of the presidency, he kind of had an announcement that he was a $500 billion joint venture of tech AI companies to really expand and use AI. And what he wants to do is he wants to make AI a functioning component of solving the world problems. It is conceivable that AI can solve, cure diseases, can solve world issues and world hunger issues. It opens a whole wide possibility of solutions that otherwise did not exist. Now, Biden wanted to constrain the growth of AI because he thought it was a negative impact on society as a whole. Trump wants to do just the opposite. He wants to completely deregulate it. He wants to completely take the regulatory shackles off and let AI assume a domineering and controlling role in how to solve the world issues. So AI does have an effect on scientific discovery. It does have an effect on growth and influences the capacity for culture to grow. And it's interesting because it seems to be that technology and AI. And I also want to throw in crypto also, because Donald Trump has taken the regulatory arms off of crypto and allowing it to expand. So crypto coupled with AI to possibly solve world economic disparities on the economic level, but also be able to utilize AI for the broad solutions of, you know, finding a cure to cancer, finding a cure for world hunger, eradicating certain diseases. It's really ambitious. We'll have to see how that works. AI, I still think, has some issues with society as a whole. It kind of erases the human capability of thinking and substitutes it. And I think that could be a negative rather than a positive. But again, this is all hypothetical at this point. You know, we need to see the capability of AI and how it works. So the last problem we have to look at is culture. And of course, a good amount of culture and how we define culture in this country now, it relies on social media, relies on how we view the internet and how we view podcasts. And Donald Trump is big on social media. He has a media company. So he understands how culture is shaped through media. But you have to remember a good majority of Hollywood that designs a lot of our movies and TV shows are decidedly anti-Trump. So it'll be interesting on how he bridges that gap, or if he just bypasses that gap with his social media outlets and tries to bridge the gap on that type of culture. But culture, I think on the definition here, will be extended. It will be extended through a lot of the AI. But, you know, we seem to have a lot of components that he's at least addressing for us to have a golden age. So again, will we have a golden age? Well, Trump is addressing the economy. He's at the controls there. He's using peace through strength as a preface for a geopolitical doctrine on how we deter foreign aggressors. Science is going to be AI driven. And a little bit with social culture is going to be a lot with social media and a lot of the interesting ideas that can be correlated with cryptocurrency. So there's much speculation about the golden age and whether we're in one. Remember, the golden age was supposed to be right after the pandemic. We were supposed to have the roaring 20s again. We did not have it again. But again, remember that pent-up demand from the COVID was supposed to really fuel the economy. It did to some extent, but it didn't do the extent like the roaring 20s did. But you have to remember what followed the roaring 20s was the Great Depression. So we'll wait and see. I think we're still out, out to vote a little bit on the golden age, but I'm ready for the ride. I think it would be interesting, but it's interesting how Donald Trump is tackling all the components of the golden age and how we might get there. We're going to take a real quick break. We're going to close it up a little bit today with a comparison of McKinley and Trump. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone, to Street and Curb. And I want to briefly close today a little bit with a comparison of William McKinley and Donald Trump, because Donald Trump has been invoking William McKinley several times. Actually, he's even renaming the highest mountain in the country, Mount McKinley, again. But, you know, both are Republican. The similarities, both got shot at. Unfortunately, McKinley died from an assassination from an anarchist, but Trump did not. Both embraced protective tariffs. And both embraced strong business ethics. Both had interventionists a little bit. McKinley was at the helm when he won the Spanish American War. He gained control of Hawaii, Guam, and the Philippines. He kind of restored prosperity after the Depression. He kept the gold standard, so maybe there'll be a similarity there with the golden age. And he was a strong businessman. It's funny that Donald Trump has been invoking a lot of William McKinley lately. There are a lot of similarities, especially when it comes to tariffs. And he believed in a strong economy through the tariffs to keep the American economy strong. So there's a lot to talk about. I'm going to bring up this similarity a lot of times in subsequent shows, but it's just interesting that Donald Trump is kind of a creature of history, and we'll have to see if we can define his legacy as a part of history. We'll see you guys next week on Street and Curb, where we come up with another common sense topic, a common sense approach to complex issues. And I'm Steve Carvelli. Join us next week for Street and Curb.